Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:41, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and excuse me, Standard Time. And today is December 7th. Well, I thought that today I would kick off the audio with this graphic from Ian Little's presentation from Markets Now last week, and it gives us I think a good stepping point from which to think about what exactly the rotation has been in stock markets since Trump was elected, but also what we've seen in markets over the last year. So down there in the bottom right-hand corner, we can see commodities, which generally have high cyclicality but low quality of earnings. Now, what we have seen is that the market has turned. So the cycle, which was trending lower for such a long time, it is worth having a look at that chart. I was looking at Cameco before I started looking at the audio, thinking about the audio, because it has staged this rally. But of course, now it's a question of what happens next, having reverted to the mean. But when we look at, for example, the BlackRock World Mining Trust, which I think is still trading on a discount to NAV of about 6.5%, then we can say, I think, with at least some confidence, that the cycle has turned. This trust, which is reflective of the commodity complex more generally, trended lower for 5 years, and that downtrend has broken. It has been trending lower just about all year. Going from 150 to 350, that's a substantial move. This is the reason why value investors get really excited about low prices, because the first doubling is the easy one. But that doesn't mean it can't double again. I think that is the really big point here, because if we go back to this graphic, then commodities, if the cycle has indeed turned, then they're highly cyclical. That highly cyclical part is the really important part in my view, because then what have we had? If we had a 5-year downtrend, if the cycle has turned, then things have been that a lot of bad news has already been priced in. That there has, because a lot of bad news has been priced in, supply has been cut back. Because supply has been cut back, then there isn't the ability to increase supply very quickly when demand begins to return, and with the prospect of enhanced fiscal stimulus next year. And I fully accept the argument that it takes a while to get that going, that generally speaking, these fiscal stimuli require acts of parliament in whichever country they're enacted, and that does not happen overnight, and that even then, that it takes upwards of a year for it to filter through into the economy. What we also know is that the stock market is a discounting mechanism, and that is what is currently going on. Now, if we continue to look at this graphic, then we know also that banks and insurance are highly cyclical but tend to have better quality earnings. And I thought it was interesting today when we look at the S&P 500 Banks Index, then there was a news story today to the effect that the Eurozone has fined JP Morgan, HSBC, and another bank over $500 million for their role in the Euribor fixing scandal. And they threw that off as if it were nothing at all. So this has been a remarkable move over the last month. And of course, if indeed the banking sector is cyclical, could we now argue that the cycle has turned? That this was a very modest performance overall in the context of a bull market where we have had rather impressive moves. And of course, the reason that we can say it's modest is because it is modest relative to the size of the decline overall. But of course, we can see quite clearly that from the 2009 low, the banking sector is up off that low really quite a lot already in terms of its just absolute performance, but it is only now beginning to move back to relative outperformance relative to the wider market, and I displayed that ratio yesterday. It's probably worth just taking another just very quick look at that ratio right now, so that you can see that it is only now just breaking out of a relative base formation. And of course, if in fact the cycle has turned in favor of banks, and there is quite the possibility that that is indeed the case, if we do indeed get fiscal stimulus, if we get deregulation, if we get higher interest rates overall, and then those translate into more encouraging economic growth, then that is an ideal scenario for the banking sector to do rather well and to re-engage with its function as a liquidity provider and issue more loans, make more money, and potentially even start to become the dividend payers that they were relied upon to be for such a long time ahead of the financial crisis. And they hardly pay dividends at all right now. So then there is ample potential for them to continue to outperform. Now, when we look at go back and just continue with this graphic, the sector that tends to be not particularly cyclical with high quality earnings are the fast moving consumer goods. And generally speaking, it has been the consumer discretionary and consumer. Let's see, consumer discretionary is SFUND. And so that is consumer discretionary. So it has done fantastically well already, and it has been, and that was of course on a relative basis. And if we look at it in absolute terms, then it is breaking out, but it has been range bound for quite some time already. It in fact looks almost exactly like the S&P 500, but that it is underperforming more recently. And part of the reason that it is underperforming is there is uncertainty about the strength of the dollar. That I think is the primary reason that consumer discretionary is not breaking out in a very dynamic fashion. But of course, there is the other reason that it is a relative value reason, that the sector is not particularly cheap. Whereas when we look at those highly cyclical sectors like commodities and banks, then on a relative basis they are cheaper and they are coming off of depressed levels overall. Whereas what we are really betting on for the kinds of companies that are less cyclical and that do have high quality earnings is that those earnings improve even further. That, of course, is quite possible if we have economic growth, regardless of whether it is fueled by monetary stimulus or fiscal stimulus. Of course, the best kind of growth is self-sustaining growth, but I think that it isn't particularly appropriate to be talking about that right away. Today was a rather important day for the Dow Jones. The Trump rally has continued. It is breaking up, and this is now what we could consider as an upside surprise. We have had plenty of upside surprises in the context of the uptrend all the way from 2009. There were two rather large downward surprises in this range over the last year, and there was a lot of people were getting a little bit disheartened about stocks overall. There was a concerted belief that we were going to have low interest rates forever, and that there wasn't ever going to be any other kind of solution except a central bank solution. And that I think that investors are being disabused of that notion right now. So the Dow Jones has broken out. The S&P 500 has also done rather well in here today, and also extending its advance. The Nasdaq hasn't quite yet. And I think that is also worth looking at this graphic. You can see that it isn't quite as high quality earnings as banks. It isn't quite as low quality as commodities, but it is a cyclical index. And when we look at this chart, we can say quite clearly that the cycle was very much in favor of technology over the last 7 years. And that might indeed still be the case. The pace of technological innovation is such that there is certainly potential for this index to continue to advance overall, and not least if we have improving economic growth. But on a relative value basis, perhaps it will not be the relative performer in the next while that it was over the last few years. And I think that is perhaps an important characterization, because it was leading for such a long time overall. And of course, what we're also seeing in the bond markets is that there was a lot of bad news priced in for bonds. That the prospect of higher interest rates is terrible news for bond investors, most particularly those that are holding on a yield to maturity basis. And because pension funds are some of the largest holders, and governments are some of the largest holders, they don't generally tend to trade their positions, but rather hold them to maturity and roll them on. Higher interest rates are terrible news for that kind of strategy. So we have had some fairly substantial selling pressure, but there is the reality that what we have is a short-term oversold condition overall, and even in a bear market context, and this has been a very large pullback in prices. It is completely different to the kind of environment that we had seen all the way from this big rally at the end of 2013. And it is a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Of course, the big question is, what happens when we get a reversionary rally? And because it is so oversold, the potential for a reversionary rally is increasing. But then, when people have had such a very large pullback overall, then some people will today be looking at buy the dip, but then they will also be looking at a reversion to the mean as an opportunity to harvest some of those profits. So it is looking increasingly likely that the peak is in for bonds, but that we could have quite a bit of messy trading in the intervening few months as the supply side really returns to dominance after what it has been a 35-year bull market. And we can say, I think, with a high degree of confidence, that a bull market that it can persist for 35 years cannot sim does not end on a whimper. It doesn't end overnight, that there is going to be a war going on between supply and demand, because of the complacency that can get built in to running the same strategy year after year after year. That is going to take quite some time to break, and not least because so many people have made such an awful lot of money out of betting that interest rates would never rise, or that the discount rate would be low indefinitely. And that is going to represent a very, very big argument overall. And I think it's also worth looking at silver in here today. I wrote a little bit about it in comment of the day today. And it has bounced. Now, we have had how many bounces of $1.50? There's one there, there's another here. This one was about $2. So we've had two rallies of $1.50 and one rally of $2. And now the price has rallied about $1.20. So there is potential for this rally to continue a bit further, but there is a clear progression of lower rally highs since that July peak, and that really will need to be taken out. And it isn't just that we need a higher reaction low. It has done that previously. What it absolutely needs to do is to sustain a move above $19. And it is really only that will confirm that we are back on a demand-dominated footing beyond the short term. I think one of the things that will be acting against silver is that when it pulls back in a very, very violent manner. And it has done that twice already, and people will be afraid that it will do that again. It isn't really until that it has sustained a move above 19 that I think people will have confidence that the bearish environment overall has changed. Short term it is looking reasonably positive, but it has certainly got some work to do. It is for the bulls to prove their case at this particular point. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you. Oh, I would say, just as an aside, I got a very friendly email today telling me that I had been saying, you know, far too often, that it was interrupting the flow. And I think that in striving to create the best possible broadcast I can, I will endeavor to leave off from these little interlocutions that I think were probably coming in and infecting me from my environment, and certainly from wordplay that I've been having with my children of late. But also, I think that maybe saying you know has been something that I've been putting in while I've been typing. So certainly, I will endeavor to make my broadcast better, as at least as good as I can. And with that, I will leave you for today.